Wake up, Coastal Carolina. Wake up. This is your CCTA Wake Up Call.
Produced by the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization dedicated to the preservation of the U.S. Constitution, free enterprise, and individual liberty.
Hello, Coastal Carolina, and welcome to CCTA Wake Up Call. Good to have you with us. I'm your host, Rick Hopkins, and we've got our usual cast of characters, but some of them missing have reappeared. We've got Diane Ruffino back with us.
Welcome back.
Hello. Good to be here.
Diane is our constitutional scholar. We depend on her for all our legal input there. We got Bob and Mary Griswold.
Hello.
Hal and Rainer James. And, hey, of course, Hal is chair of our watchdog committee. Rainer, she's chair of our state legislative action committee.
Yep.
We've got two Michaels with us. We've got Michael that's always here with us. And
thank you. Welcome.
We've got Michael Speciale. Representative Michael Speciale has joined us tonight. Michael, thanks
for
coming.
Hey.
Good to be here.
So, you're probably wondering what we're going to talk about tonight. We had our regularly monthly public meeting last night. This show's pre-recorded, of course. We record our shows on Wednesday evening. We had the speaker come in from Civitas.
Francis DeLuca.
That's right. I always remember his last name, but his first name gives me trouble. So, Francis DeLuca was the speaker. And he gave us an update on some of the legislative actions that are taking place here in North Carolina and some other issues. And one of the things that he mentioned that caught my attention, which is one of my pet peeves, which really disturbs me, is judicial activism. And I got an official definition here.
Good.
I can hardly wait.
Judicial activism. Judicial activism is a legal term that refers to court rulings that are partially or fully based on the judge's political or personal considerations, rather than existing laws. In basic terms, judicial activism occurs when a judge presiding over a case allows his personal or political views to guide his decision when rendering judgment on a case. The topic of judicial activism, boy, I'm having trouble with that one too, has been a source of controversy in the U.S. political landscape for some time. To explore this concept, consider the following judicial activism definition. Court rulings made based on political or personal views of the judges presiding over the case. So that's what we're going to be talking about because it is a big issue in North Carolina.
I would want to ask a question with the words judicial activism. Is that one of those phrases that's up for redefinition somewhere? Because I'm sure that there's a major portion of, not a major portion, but a portion of the society that would say judicial activism is to make things right regardless of whether they're with the law.
Yeah. It tends to be with whatever party you're aligned with at the time, unfortunately. If the left has a judge that rules the certain way, then that's just fine. That's the way the law is supposed to be. And if the right does it, it's judicial activism. And if you're somebody who's on, you know, the end of the spectrum that most of us tend to be on, you know, we tend to look at a whole lot of rulings as judicial activism.
Well, I tell you, I look at it as legislating from the bench. It's not their purview, and they need to behave themselves.
Right.
One of the aspects to me of judicial activism is that it opens the way for court shopping.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And we've seen that with the certain cases being brought before the Ninth Circuit, who is one of the most overruled.
Not one of the most
overruled circuits in the country.
Right.
And that's where a lot of, when someone wants something done, quote, legally, unquote, they will go to the Ninth Circuit to try to get that ruling. And that ruling will probably go the way they want it to. And then it will stand up until the Supreme Court gets it and says, no, you guys are out to lunch.
Well, that's an excellent point you brought up. Judge shopping. I'm glad you brought up that term because it is very relevant.
And Mary, that's also why selection of judges has also become so political.
You know, that's when they run for president, for example, they know what kind of judges they want to bring in. And it's not because of their adherence to the Constitution. It's how their political slant will influence their decisions. And I also wanted to bring up that we're talking about the definition of judicial activism, and it's not just the judge's particular preference or leanings. There's a couple other things that come in this definition of judicial activism. So we make law from the bench, which you mentioned. Interpreting or importing foreign law to interpret our U.S. Constitution.
Yeah.
Or our laws. Discovering new rights not found in the text of the Constitution. Bending the meaning of the Constitution. Seeking to implement or direct social change in the country. Mm. So those are some of the other ways that we recognize judicial activism.
That's There's been right. a whole lot of social change through the courts, yeah. so that's something that's definitely worth noting.
I remember a time when the judges would render an opinion on something, and then the legislature or the Congress, depending on who was, would go back and they would fix it based on what the court's opinion was. That doesn't happen anymore. Now when the judge renders well, they call it a ruling now, he renders a ruling, and everybody seems to think that that makes it law of the land, and that's not the way it was supposed to work. Mm-hmm. It's not the way it was designed to work.
That's right. What we call a judicial tyranny sometimes.
Yeah, that's a fallacy that has taken over our society, is that they are the Supreme Court, for instance. If you go out here and talk to people on the street, most of them will tell you, oh, yeah, that's the law of the land. Whatever the Supreme Court says, that's law. No. The Supreme Court issues opinions.
Yes. I have some good news on this front. Maybe we could use
it. Lay it on us.
Well, Mary, can you hold it till after the break?
Sure.
Okay, we'll come back to you on that after
the
break.
That's a tease for all of you out there in the
Jumping
audience.
Back to Bob here, I do have a little history on the term judicial activism. The exact history of judicial activism is unclear, but it is believed that the concept has been around for centuries. However, a man named Arthur Schlesinger, Jr., brought about the term judicial activism in 1947. Schlesinger was a specialist in American history and was well known for his study of 20th century American liberalism. So,
who would have guessed?
The term's been around for quite a while. Okay, folks, that's letting you know what we're going to be talking about for this show. And right now, we're going to go out and get a little bit from our sponsors. I want you to listen to the commercials and then go out and visit them. And when you walk in the door, say, hey, I heard about y'all on CCTA Wake Up Call.
Baldwin's Transmissions and Auto Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call or stop by the shop on Highway 17 South in New Bern. Baldwin will give you the options. They can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they'll rebuild your existing transmission if that's what you prefer. Baldwin also does a variety of minor auto repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pumps. Count on Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair, your transmission physician, Highway 17 South in New Bern. For fresh, delicious seafood, come to Redfish Seafood Market on Highway 55 East in Grantsboro. We've got a big variety to choose from. Do you like shrimp, scallops, salmon? We've got them. We've got all sorts of fish. Right now, come for the soft-shell crabs from our place. Sausage and salmon we smoked with pecan wood, devil crabs, and even peanuts we boil ourselves. You can also pick up seafood seasoning, flavorful breading, and sauces at Redfish Seafood Market, Highway 55 East in Grantsboro, across from the Dollar Tree. Open Monday through Saturday from 10 till 6. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military. Just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call, the place where patriots come to talk.
We're having a great discussion on a very important topic, and that's judicial activism. And we've seen some pretty prevalent cases of that here in North Carolina, and we'll get into some of that. Again, we have with us Representative Michael Speciale, and we asked him to come in so we could pick his brain on that. Before we do that, I'm going to give you a quote from President Ronald Reagan. The role assigned to judges in our system was to interpret the Constitution and lesser laws, not to make them. It was to protect the integrity of the Constitution, not to add to it or subtract from it, certainly not to rewrite it. For as the framers knew, unless judges are bound by the text of the Constitution, we will, in fact, no longer have a government of laws, but of men and women who are judges. And if that happens, the words of the documents that we think govern us will be just masked for the personal and capricious rule of small elite. All right, Mary, you had some good news you wanted to share.
Last week, Scott Pruitt, who is the EPA administrator, made an announcement, and part of the announcement says, the practice of regulation through litigation is terminated. The EPA will not resolve litigation through backroom deals with any type of special interest group. He also announced steps to increase transparency about all matters under litigation, so that people can see what activist groups are trying to do. So he's trying to roll that back. The EPA has gained tremendous power through the courts in recent years, and he's trying to roll that back. I think that's good news.
Well, that's another thing. I don't think it was in your list, Diane, but some of these agencies that have been created have also started exercising the practice of making laws, you know? They call them regulations or rules or whatever you want to call them, but they're actually trying to make laws. And, of course, when you've got left-leaning agendas and things are said often enough and repeated over and over again, people start believing, well, that's the truth. That is the law. That's the way it is. And often they're being misled. I'm going to read from a little article here in the Heritage Foundation. Article was How to Spot Judicial Activism. It says, since the late 1930s, the courts have gradually abandoned their proper and essential role under the Constitution to police the structural limits on government and neutrally interpret the laws and constitutional provisions without special bias. Many judges refuse to interpret the Constitution and statutes according to their original public meaning, or perhaps the lack the understanding of how to do so. Instead, they seek to impose their personal preferences. But a judge who looks beyond the text of the Constitution looks inside himself and nowhere else. Diane, you are well-schooled on the Constitution. Do you find that to be true nowadays, that they're redefining parts of it?
Or? Oh, absolutely.
In fact, I think you told us one time that in law school right now they're teaching precedent. They're not really studying the Constitution itself at all.
Exactly. And that's a school of thought or teaching happened, I think, in the 1950s. They used to teach the constitutional law based on what the Constitution meant. And then they would talk about the decisions, right? But then something happened in, I think, around the 50s, is law schools now just teach decisions. So they teach how the Constitution has been interpreted. So hence they keep propagating this idea that judges make law, or they really now define what the Constitution means. No one really knows what it used to mean at this point, because they don't teach it. They don't constantly remind, would-be lawyers coming out. They just keep telling you and reinforcing what it means now.
That's a horrible situation.
That's bad.
I was going to ask a question. The recent attorney general, who is now the governor of the state, refused to bring certain cases before the courts. Is that a form of judicial activism?
That's more along the lines of what they call prosecutorial discretion.
Which
should and shouldn't be understood that, the prosecutor has the ability to decide what they want to push forward. However, when there's obviously something that the state, meaning the legislator, has put in the legislation, has put their stamp on saying this is the way we want to go, it's his job, by description, to execute what they have basically said is the will of the people as elected officials.
Exactly.
And he does that, as opposed to saying, I disagree with the legislators, I want to go my own way.
Right. So there is discretion, but when judges use that, or attorney generals, when they use that power to not prosecute some, prosecute others, I mean, you're saying that there's a there's a political class that's an elite class that's above the rule of law, and that's dangerous.
Well, there's two things that need to be vetted out. The problem with comparing what things are now is that there's a school of thought that says whatever the government does, because it's the government, they make the laws, that therefore it's legal or not. There is no necessary bounds on the power of government, and that's a very dangerous and counter to what the Founding Fathers wanted the premise of the government
to be.
And
it better be counter to what we the people rear up on our hind legs and demand to stop.
And that's where a lot of these problems come from. Hal wants to jump in, so I'll get my other point out.
I don't know how you knew I wanted to jump in. But what I would like to hear, well, last night at our meeting, we heard quite a bit of conversation or talk about the a pull between the legislators and the judicials here in North Carolina. Legislators have considered, and that right, Michael, some legislation which would curtail some of this judicial activism in North Carolina. Try to do that.
Well, I mean, there's things that we can do if we wanted to. I mean, if the judges want to act like legislators, then we can pass a bill to give them 2-year terms. They can run every 2 years for their seat just like we do. I mean, there's things that can be done. It's just getting ridiculous. And I just wanted to say that judicial activism goes from the very lowest, from the district courts, all the way on up. I mean, we had one in Superior Court down here. We had a case a few years ago where the plaintiff had done something, was guilty, definitely guilty. But the judge says, well, that's an antiquated law, or the defendant was guilty, I'm sorry. He said it's an antiquated law. And so he didn't find the defendant guilty. The point is, he just threw out a law,
right,
that wasn't his position to do that. What he should have done was found the defendant guilty, and then he could have just not, give her any stiff punishment or anything, and then told that person to appeal to the legislature, have that law changed. Okay.
Right.
That's, or appeal even, to the jurors again, and for jury nullification.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. Jury nullification. Good. Interesting how these things work out, how your question and Michael, your response, and I have something here that'll give you an example, okay, of what they have tried to do.
Thanks.
North Carolina House Bill, U.S. Supreme Court exceeded authority of Almighty God in creating gay marriage. Members of the North Carolina General Assembly introduced a bill on Tuesday citing the 10th Amendment, which affirms that the U.S. Supreme Court exceeded its authority under the Constitution and in relation to the decree of Almighty God by legalizing same-sex marriage, and contends that the Obergefell versus Hodges decision is null and void in North Carolina, and that the Tar Heel State shall only recognize marriages between one man and one woman. The legislation explains that North Carolina seeks to follow the 2012 law that was established in Section 6 of Article 14 of the North Carolina Constitution, which defines marriage as being between one man and one woman. The new bill would also affirm that same-gender marriages performed in other states are not valid in North Carolina. The legislation I'm talking about was House Bill 780, the Uphold Historical Marriage Act, and it was sponsored by House members Larry Pittman, Michael Speciale, and Carl Ford. And the bill states it's an act to affirm that Section 6 of Article 14 of the North Carolina Constitution is the law of the state, whereas the 10th Amendment of the United States Constitution states that the power is not delegated to the United States by the Constitution nor prohibited by it to the states or reserved to the states respectively or to the people, and whereas the enumerated powers of the federal government as outlined in the United States Constitution do not include the authority or power to establish laws concerning marriage, and whereas it is therefore clear that laws concerning marriage are for each state to establish and maintain severally and independently.
Hear, hear.
And I'd like to point out also that the marriage amendment in 2012, which was an amendment to the Constitution, was passed overwhelmingly with a 61% affirmative vote.
By the state? By the individuals in the state?
The people. We the people voted for it.
And this is important for a couple of reasons. Like you said earlier, there's been this big, essentially, giveaway of power to the courts where a legislation and has basically said, oh, the courts ruled and we're done, and then they've just run away and hid. And it's an abdication of power for legislators to do that. And for a state, and a variety of states have got similar things going through their systems, to push back and demand, no, the Supreme Court's not the final arbiter on this, we are going to assert our power as the states, is a big social change from, well, the courts ruled and we're just, you know, we can't do anything about it. And that's something that it's good for the people to realize that there is no final arbiter. There is a balance that's supposed to go in all directions on these things.
What's the status of that proposal?
The almost immediate when it came out, actually the same day that it came out, the speaker got badgered by some on the left, and he immediately put out a press release that it wasn't going anywhere.
Wow. Well, it is a prime example of what Hal was talking about, the legislators taking action to do something about that.
But they need help. They don't need the speaker coming
they
out
need to
and
hear from,
saying
right.
something that is absolutely absurdly wrong.
They need to hear from the people.
And yeah. It's worth pointing out that the speaker's party has a large enough majority that they can push this through because the people have put them in the offices that they don't need a governor's signature. Just because the governor's on the opposite side, you know, people like Michael and the speaker can make this happen if they don't bow to pressure from the other side.
All right.
First of all, you know, it's amazing how we you know, we say that the power is at the ballot box, right? Like, that's our power. You know, we make law, we make change through the that's where we have our powers, at the ballot box. We had that power. We used that power at the ballot box to vote for the amendment. And now
and
they're saying
no. And the judge overturned
right?
it, right.
But I also wanted to say, and the CCTA is very, very good with this topic of nullification. It's big with the CCTA, as it is with myself. Well, nullification we usually talk about is with the state pushing back against the Congress or legislative branch for laws that are, you know, passed exceeding the you know, the power of the government. So as delegated under the Constitution. So if it's an unconstitutional act, states can push back, make sure we don't enforce it. But we can't just think about limiting the Congress. We have to push back against the judicial branch as well. Mm-hmm. They're a branch of the government. They too are capable, and we know they are, exceeding their authority. So we have to wrap our minds around this whole nullification is just isn't on acts and policies. It's against court decisions as well.
Right.
And that's why this act or this bill, it's a nullification bill.
Right. Mm-hmm. And to point out also, you brought up about we used our power at the polls, mm-hmm. 61%, 63%. Mm-hmm. Majority definitely voted for the marriage amendment. And there was a lot of money poured in to trying to defeat it. Mm-hmm. And anyway, it passed. I'd like to point out that it was overturned by a judge and not a duly elected
exactly.
judge, an appointed judge. politically appointed judge. Now, folks, that's your representation that you're getting. That's who's redefining and changing the laws and nullifying your vote at the polls.
Exactly. So we're reverse nullification. If they can do it to us, we could do it to them.
That goes into
And that's one man that did it.
That second point I was going to make earlier was related to what Mr. Speciale had talked about before. There's a balance with the judges. And it relates to when we were talking about the judges not being political. If they're running every 2 years for their offices because they're acting like legislators, then they are becoming politicians. And we wanted our judges to rule on law, not to be playing politics.
But Michael,
the other end of the insane extreme is all of our things are being set in by appointees who can't ever win an election. And so there has to be a means to balance that. Because on one end, running for your job constantly, you're going to act incredibly politically. On the other side, you put people who will do whatever the person who puts them in tells them.
I want to throw a curve in this discussion. North Carolina voted that marriage was one man and one woman. And that makes sense in terms of that's what the state wants. Therefore, that really should be what the state gets. There are other states who might not see it that way, although I'm not convinced of that. In Massachusetts, the only way gay marriage went through was through a judge. It was never allowed to
California
be voted on.
California as well. These are the most liberal states.
But if the United States is a union of state experiments, which I believe at one point it was described as, then shouldn't every state have the right to make its own law? And if you happen to be a gay couple, you know that if I live in, say, New York or California, that's cool. But if I live in North Carolina, that's not going to work for me legally. Then you have that choice.
Right. But here's what they've done. They've identified the states where it's not cool. And they've put together groups and poured money into bringing those people into the state to change at the ballot box. Sometimes in fraudulent methods, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about this on a previous show a couple of weeks ago, turning North Carolina blue.
This also relates to what we're going to be talking about with the seminar we're having with America's Remedy.
Right.
You can find them with John Ainsworth, and it talks about how they have federalized all these concepts that should be state concepts.
Mm-hmm. Which is why this nullification bill is such an important thing.
There's so many different ways this all ties together.
Right.
It's important to understand that in North Carolina, according to North Carolina general statutes and according to the state constitution, the law in North Carolina on marriage is one man, one woman. That's right. Never been changed.
Right.
What was changed was the previous governor and the attorney general deciding that because the court made this decree, the Fourth Circuit made this decree that they were going to align North Carolina with that. But the General Assembly, who is the only ones authorized to make law in this state, has never changed the law. So the law today still stands. It's one man and one woman.
But we don't have anybody with the backbone to implement it or enforce it. So we got to take a break here to hear from our sponsors. Folks, it's very interesting. Come back and hear the rest of it.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition established by Tommy and David Moore's parents over 70 years ago. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week at our three locations in New Bern, Winterville, and Moorhead City. We also cater and deliver to your home, workplace, church, or school, anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutritional consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
The County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
You're listening to CCTA Wake Up Call right here on The Talk Station, FM 107.1 WTKF Atlantic. CCTA Wake Up Call is a production of Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association. And you can join us here every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. and every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. for the best in conservative talk radio in eastern North Carolina. That's CCTA Wake Up Call.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Well, folks, we have some very lively discussions during the commercial break that y'all aren't privy to, but they do get very lively. And, you know, I made a comment before we went to break that we didn't have people with backbone to enforce the law. And Michael Speciale reminded me, well, we do have some.
Just not enough.
Right. Absolutely. We do. We have. Well, you know, I just read a bill prior to going to break. We had three representatives that stood up. They definitely had the backbone to put through that bill. And
what we need to do is recruit more like them and send them reinforcements.
Right. They also have to be local. Because the law is enforced by the person who signs those certificates. And we had nationally a big incident where you had a clerk in a different state in Kentucky who said, the law in Kentucky is this, and she got lambasted for it.
Yeah.
And it would be nice if a few of these other clerks, who, by the way, take an oath to the Constitution and the laws of the state of North Carolina, if they were willing to be as forthright about what the state law of North Carolina is.
Right.
And just because the media and everybody else and a particular judge in that state decided to jail this woman for doing the job that she took an oath to do, by the way, it would be, you know, that's where, like I said, the rubber meets the road.
Right.
And it has to be at a few different levels.
Well, those people in those offices took, like you said, an oath to uphold the Constitution. And the North Carolina Constitution clearly states that marriage is between a man and a woman. And an amendment was put in to even make that more firm. Okay? So why would you bow to political correctness instead of living up to your oath?
It's important to understand that what we're dealing with is not just people in North Carolina, or the lady in Kentucky was not just dealing with citizens of Kentucky who disagreed. This is a nationwide effort.
Right.
And there's, I mean, we were
absolutely
the Los Angeles Times had a cartoon of the three of us in the Los Angeles Times. Right. I mean, that's how ridiculing us. That's how far-reaching this is, and it's all of the left in the country coming after, you know, whichever state happens to be the target state.
It gets into what Diane talked about with this federalization of all these what were supposed to be segmented policies. North Carolina can do what the citizens of North Carolina, the body politic of North Carolina, wants. It's not supposed to be everything goes for every single place just
one
because.
Size fits all, right?
The things that are uniform are only those things that are delegated to the federal
trade,
government in the Constitution, and that's not one of them.
Diane?
I want to go back to nullification again because I really see this as the wave of the future. And this is where I think the remedy, Thomas Jefferson called it the rightful remedy, and I really believe this is the remedy that can get us back on track. So the way I look at the Constitution, now if I were sitting on the Supreme Court, but the way I read the Constitution is that there are certain things that the government can't even approach, can't even consider. So I'm looking at the preamble to the Bill of Rights, which recognizes our rights. And it says, the convention of a number of the states having at the time of their adopting the Constitution expressed a desire in order to prevent misconstruction or abuse of its powers that further declaratory and restrictive clauses be added. And this will increase confidence in government. Okay, so everything that follows, the 10 amendments, are further restrictive clauses or further declaratory. All right. So this means to me, right, Second Amendment, First Amendment, you know, our speech and our religious rights, and 10th Amendment included. This means that when an issue comes up, say, that's a reserved power to the states, like marriage, voting rights, that if someone's challenging it and they want the government to take a stand on it, they can't because of what this preamble. So if they get that issue, that should be one of those things. It's not justiciable. It's not. It's you can't even go forward with this lawsuit. It's frivolous because the government doesn't even have the power to hear it.
It's great that you bring that up because it's important to realize that when the Constitution was constructed, limiting government's power was important to people trusting the government. And now you have the opposite school of thought that people only trust the government if the government can do everything. It is fundamentally backwards.
Well, actually, when the Constitution was written, the sole purpose of it was to limit it, to bind it down, so that it only did those things that affected all of the states from particularly without, because we could see people in various countries in Europe lusting after what we had. They wanted to take it away from us again.
Right. And the framers were very smart and very insightful. But I don't think they ever realized that the plain, simple language that they use, such as shall make no law, could be misconstrued and twisted into something entirely different.
Well, the states can do exactly what the federal government's doing. Every state can carry out those functions, its reserve functions. If they didn't have to wait for money for the government, if it for years and years, for hundreds of years, that the government has said, we'll do it, we'll give you some money to implement it. So like it's like a person, if it wasn't so easy to get government aid, maybe I would be able to, you know, I don't have a little ambition and find a job. We see that time and time again. If it wasn't so easy and it was so plausible to get aid because, well, it's easier to get it and I can probably live better if I were to get a part-time job, well, then I would be able to get a job. So it's like what's happening to human beings. This is what the states have become. They become sort of like dependent on government.
Well, you were talking about nullification, right? Mm-hmm. I nullify what you just said by calling you a racist. That's the new strategy.
Okay, well, then I'll be like the rest of the American people and I'll just say, I give up. If you're going to call me a racist, I don't want to engage in politics anymore. Right? But
Well, that's what my point. That's how they nullify a lot of what we're doing.
But we've got to stop that. We've got to refuse to do that. We've got to know within ourselves what we are.
We do. We know that.
Well, it needs to be contagious, and we need to.
It's not because of your race.
I've had a question I want to ask Diane for a while now. and that is, in the Constitution, we have checks and balances on the power of the various branches of government. That's obvious. Mm-hmm. And yet, somehow, back to these judicial activists, we don't seem to ever have a way of getting rid of them. When they're, and I understand they're supposed to serve during times of good behavior or something of that, those kind of languages. And yet, nobody ever brings a what would you call it?
Impeachment action.
Impeachment action against them. And why not? Why is that such a taboo?
That gets into some of the backbone with the legislators, unfortunately, as well.
Well, who watches the watchers, right? Yeah. And that's the only branch that no one watches the watchers. So Thomas Jefferson actually tried that. And that goes back to the case of, I think, Marbury versus Madison. We had a judge there that was, his name was Chase. I forgot his name. Samuel Chase. And he was a particularly evil judge. He went after, that was the time between the Federalists. And the Federalists, they were the ones that got their way at the Constitutional Convention, but then they became perverted. And all of a sudden, instead of limiting government, all of a sudden they wanted more power centralized in government. That was John Adams. That was Alexander Hamilton. That was his, right? He was his Treasury Secretary. Thomas Jefferson was Secretary of State. He was advising George Washington. No, we can't give so much power to the, we can't have it taxing power, remember, to create the National Bank. Well, John Adams, Federalist, wanted to centralize more judges, Federalist judges, to keep making decisions to put more power into the government. And Thomas Jefferson now was the VP under Thomas John Adams, and he kept saying, no, you can't do that. You can't do it. Did all these, articulated the the concepts and doctrines of nullification. But Salmon Chase went after under the Alien and Sedition Acts, which was unconstitutional. This was the reason for the nullification, those Kentucky and Virginia ordinances, resolves. And he went after the anti-Federalists, and he imprisoned them for saying things that would bring the government and any of the officials in disrepute. But he was so, he went above and beyond his job as a judge to put them in jail. So when Thomas Jefferson became president, he said, this man can't continue to sit on the Supreme Court because he exceeded his powers. He was capricious, arbitrary, and brought him up on impeachment charges. And by one vote, he was not removed.
Wow. Oh,
that's not that different from what Rick brought up about how they just scream racism and they get you culled from the discourse. You have this, and it's the way that you silence the dissenters.
Right.
But it won't work if the dissenters don't shut up.
Right. We got to take a break, folks.
We all got to take our time to shut up.
We're going to eat up all our time here. Okay, we got to hear from our sponsors again, and come back. We got one more topic that I really want to get to when we come back from this break.
Baldwin's Transmissions and Auto Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call or stop by the shop on Highway 17 South in New Bern. Baldwin will give you the options. They can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they'll rebuild your existing transmission if that's what you prefer. Baldwin also does a variety of minor auto repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pumps. Count on Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair, your transmission physician, Highway 17 South in New Bern. For fresh, delicious seafood, come to Redfish Seafood Market on Highway 55 East in Grantsboro. We've got a big variety to choose from. Do you like shrimp, scallops, salmon? We've got them. We've got all sorts of fish. Right now, come for the soft-shell crabs from our place. Sausage and salmon we smoked with pecan wood, deviled crabs, and even peanuts we boil ourselves. You can also pick up seafood seasoning, flavorful breading, and sauces at Redfish Seafood Market, Highway 55 East in Grantsboro, across from the Dollar Tree. Open Monday through Saturday from 10 till 6.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition established by Tommy and David Moore's parents over 70 years ago. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week at our three locations in New Bern, Winterville, and Moorhead City. We also cater and deliver to your home, workplace, church, or school, anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
The County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news, coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers, and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout Eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Panicelli's Pizzeria in River Bend features delicious handmade Italian dishes like lasagna, spaghetti, fettuccine Alfredo, stromboli, calzone, and many more. And now Panicelli's has home delivery. Panicelli's uses only the freshest ingredients, and they have fantastic New York-style pizza in four sizes or by the slice. Panicelli's Pizzeria also has great salads and subs. So today, head to River Bend, and Panicelli's is at 40 Shoreline Drive, or call Panicelli's Pizzeria for home delivery.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Diane, you had a point you wanted to make about the Fourth Circuit.
Yeah, we're talking about judicial activism, and one of the most troubling decisions, opinions that in recent months has been the Ninth Circuit when it was it struck down Donald Trump's travel ban. And it said several things that were very troubling. One thing it said is that the Constitution applies to all citizens, including illegal aliens and things like that.
They're not citizens.
A bunch of troubling things. But it said one thing it said was they looked to Donald Trump's comments during the campaign to reinterpret the travel ban. So no, they didn't look just to the text of the travel ban anymore. They tried to use the motive. They try to ascertain the motive based on something he had said in the campaign.
To the point, they're demanding documents. You have a situation now where the judge in Hawaii regarding the travel ban is demanding all the background documents because the intent of why they were going for the law or anything pertinent to what actually got written down, he's saying could be evidence to strike the law from the record as opposed to the law itself and how it's crafted.
Judges are supposed to look at the text. It's just like contract law. You look at the text.
Four corners of the page.
Right. So that's something you that's one of those signs of judicial activism is when you try to look for motive, because that makes the decision just as arbitrary, if not more arbitrary. That's the
most
arbitrary way to come down with an opinion. So the Ninth Circuit did that, or the Hawaii judge did that with Trump's travel ban, saying that Trump in his campaign said he was going to ban Muslims. So hence, this travel ban, although the words are kind of fits okay with what he's allowed to do, it really is meant to prevent Muslims from coming into the country. Well, the Fourth Circuit, in looking at our voter ID law, looked to the campaign promises of Republicans. Once they got in office, they were going to pass a voter ID law. So hence, well, this voter ID law didn't really, according to the Fourth Circuit, really didn't address the integrity, to make them elections legit and all that. No, it was really about trying to get rid of, prevent blacks from voting because they vote for the Democratic Party. And so hence, they were slandering our legislator, calling them a bunch of names which weren't true. And it was, I likened the Fourth Circuit to the horrible Ninth Circuit, which everybody knows is the worst circuit court in the country.
And you know what was ironic about that? We, during the primaries, had voter ID, photo ID. I worked the polls. It was great. All you had to do was pick up the scanner, scan the license. The screen was populated with all the information. Things went smoothly. There was no record or indication or evidence of anybody being disenfranchised. Actually, turnout was better.
In every case, in every state where they have voter ID, minority involvement in the elections is increased.
Right. Well, we're going to hit another topic here that was brought up at last night's public meeting. I'm going to read from the Winston-Salem Chronicle. Activists warn about North Carolina judicial redistricting scheme. At last week's 74th annual NAACP convention in Raleigh, legal activists fighting against illegal North Carolina voting laws and redistricting warned that Republican-led legislative leaders are moving steadily, especially after they commenced their second special session last week to establish judicial redistricting and also merit selection. The warnings came as the North Carolina House last week passed a law eliminating the 2018 primaries for all judicial seats across the state. Governor Cooper vetoed the law Monday, but Republicans plan to override the Democratic governor's veto. It's not just about Trump outgoing president, Dr. William J. Barber II warned. Those gathered for the voter mobilization and registration session Friday. The worst stuff happening is happening in our state capitol. Over the strong objections of judges, attorneys, and citizens statewide, the North Carolina House passed House Bill 717 last Thursday night, October the 5th, to redistrict all judicial officials in the state, including prosecutors. The state Senate prefers appointing judges as opposed to judicial elections through merit selection. It was brought up in our meeting last night by Francis DeLuca of Civitas that that was an issue that was coming up, that the Senate is very interested in appointing rather than electing. Michael, can you enlighten us on that?
I think I just read something yesterday that a bill was actually submitted by someone in the Senate, and I didn't have time to read all the details on it. But yeah, this is something that is going to be visited when we go back in January. We go back for another special session in January. I'm not going to support it. It's going to take 3/5
Good.
Because it's a constitutional amendment. It would require a constitutional amendment. So it's going to take 3/5 of the General Assembly. The thing is, the problem with constitutional amendments that go on, you know, for everybody to vote on is a lot of times people go up there, they don't know that it's there, and they've got, you know, 2 minutes that they're in there in the booth there to read it, try and understand it, to try and figure out what the ramifications are of it before they vote yes or no on it. That's the scary part. A good example was a few years ago, there was one in the Constitution to get rid of the requirement to be read and write the Constitution before you can vote. That's an old Jim Crow law, okay? And actually, that's a bill that I put in, and we're going to revisit that. Hopefully, it'll be on the Constitution to get rid of. But about 10 years ago, it was on there. People didn't understand why it was there. It was never explained. There was never no publicity on it. And it was voted down because people thought, well, gee, you should be able to read and write to vote. But they didn't understand, you know, what that was, why it was there, and why they were trying to remove it. So it's going to be important for people to try and educate themselves on what the amendments are and which way they're going to vote before they go into the booth. And I think a lot of that's going to fall on organizations like CCTA and the parties and in general to educate the local people, to get people throughout the state to understand what it is they're going to be voting on.
Right. Well,
so you feel pretty sure that that will be on the
ballot? Well, I mean, if it gets a 3/5 majority, it will be. I mean, there's a push. So there'll be a push
for it. A lot of support in the Senate for it.
So far as I know, yeah.
Okay.
Well, it's a horrible idea.
It is a horrible idea. I mean, why would you want to nullify your ability to go to the polls and make a selection and pass that responsibility on to somebody you may not have even voted for? I don't know. It's just another way to
take the voice from the people.
Right.
There's been a lot of changes over the last couple of decades. Prior to 1981, you didn't even have to be a lawyer to be a judge.
All right. Well, Michael Speciale, Representative Michael Speciale, we thank you for spending time with us this evening and clarifying some of the questions that we had. We got 2 minutes left. Is there anything else that you'd like to share with us?
Just educate yourself on what's going to be on the ballot when you go up next year. Just keep track of what's going on.
Okay. Our other Michael, I see you're real antsy there. What you got on your mind?
I agree with Michael that there are the unintended consequences on these amendments that have to be thought about. And that is, you, just because you like the people or trust the people who are in power now, giving them the authority to act indefinitely in the future on these issues is a huge deal. Earlier in the show, when it comes to these things, Diane brought up, you know, First and Second Amendment issues. And you always have to think about the worst case what ifs that could pop up. And there's been a lot of what I like to consider phony conservatives with places like the New York Times and whatnot talking about how it's archaic to have things like the Second Amendment that, you know, protects, you know, because it's not exactly making guns illegal and we'll just let the states individually do this. Yet at the same time, we've seen the desire to federalize all these things. These protections need to be kept where they are essentially very, very difficult for the legislators to tinker with for a reason. They're that important.
Right. And Michael Speciale had a very important thing there, to educate yourself. Folks, it's your responsibility. I remember when I first went to work down at the base and walked into the bathroom there, on every mirror, and there were a lot of them in there, on every mirror was a sticker that said, "You are looking at the person responsible for your safety." Well, that applies to a lot of other things you're responsible for, and you're responsible for educating yourself. And a good way to do that, there's a book, 5,000 Year Leap. CCTA sponsors a book study on it. You can find it on Amazon. You can download it to your Kindle. You can order a paperback on it. But that will give you a very good introduction to what our framers of the Constitution used as their guide. That's based on the 28 principles of liberty, and you need to know the founding documents and what the framers had in mind when they wrote them, and that's a good way to start. Well, that's all the time we have for today's show. Again, we appreciate all of our participants, and especially our special guest, Michael Speciale. Come back and join us next week, same time, same place, 107.1, the Talk Station.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
There's something for everyone at Stingray Cafe in New Bern. For the seafood lover, there are oysters, shrimp, scallops, clams, crabs, snow crab legs, and a wide variety of fish. Not in the mood for seafood? How about a salad, a burger, beef brisket, or some good old hickory smoked barbecue? There's even a menu section for folks 10 and younger. Open 7 days a week, the Stingray Cafe on South Front Street in New Bern, just across the street from the History Center.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutritional consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
Have you got a topic you'd like to hear discussed on CCTA Wake Up Call? Well, then contact us at cctaxpayers.com or email hal@cctaxpayers.com. That's Hal, H-A-L, at cctaxpayers.com. We're a conservative talk radio show, but we value your opinion and would love to have you join us. Again, contact hal@cctaxpayers.com.
The CCTA appreciates their sponsors because their support makes it possible for Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association to bring you Wake Up Call every Sunday. Those sponsors include Professional Auto Services on Country Club Road in New Bern, Gladys Sussell, Wellness Educator and Nutrition Consultant, Panicelli's Pizzeria in River Bend. Other great supporters are RightWingGranny.com with a unique perspective on the news, B&J Seafood on US 70 in New Bern, the North Carolina Fisheries Association, Stingray Cafe, South Front Street, New Bern, Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair on Highway 17 South in New Bern, and Redfish Seafood Market, Highway 55 Grantsboro. Also, the County Compass serving Pamlico, Beaufort, Craven, and Carteret counties, Dr. J. Singleton, Moore's Old Time Barbecue, Force 5 Marine Saltwater Corrosion Inhibitor. Join us again next week at this time for your wake-up call from the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, online at cctaxpayers.com.